most followed brand in Houston sports media.
Yes, who?
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. You found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Still ahead. We're going to be talking to Bob Sturm about the Dallas Cowboys. We will also have Cody Stutes on. Cody Stutes, who is a co-host of the Wheelhouse. He's been out of Texans practice, and he's out there again. We will talk to him about getting ready for this football game and what we can expect out of our Houston football team this weekend. This now, and I they tried to ask Coach Cully this. I don't think they put it really well, but this is the game that the starters play now because there's only three preseason games. So this is the one where your starters get a bunch of time, and in the last one, it's obviously mostly guys that aren't going to be here. It's mostly guys that are maybe fighting to make the team. But for the most part, it's a lot of guys that are going to get cut. You don't want to get anybody hurt before the season starts, so you play those guys in the last game, which is now the third week, when historically the third week was when the starters would play. This is the game now where the starters should get in. When asked about that, Coach Cully said, well, we don't know who our starters are.
That answer made me a little mad when I read it yesterday because I started going through the entire list of the transcript, and it's just become obvious he's just not going to answer any questions. Yeah. I mean, he's really taken to this whole Nick Caserio not answering questions. We don't know who the starters are. I mean, I get it, but you know who some starters are. You actually treat the – they can't answer a freaking question. No one's asking for your secrets. No one's asking you how the Cane's chicken sauce is made. We just want to know if you – hey, what can we expect? What can the fans expect? Should they even turn it? Should they even tune in to the preseason game? Like, if you're a fan in preseason for years and years, you want to know, okay, well, how long are the starters playing? That's the only question that really matters. How are certain camp battles going, and how much are the starters playing? Because I want to watch some football, but I don't know if I want to get invested in this preseason. So I want to watch a bunch of backups who aren't going to make the team. I don't care about that. So you ask a simple question. How long are the starters playing? Can we expect to see our number one team for a half? It's not a hard question. We're not asking you. You can just say,
give away the game plan.
What he said was, we don't really have starters yet, blah, blah, blah. And then he said, we don't know. He went back to the same thing. We haven't figured that out yet. Really? It's Thursday. You haven't figured out how you're going to handle the rotation of players because tons of other teams have already figured it out. Why did the Texans not know anything? You can ask them any question, and they have no idea at any given time. We don't know who our starters are. We don't know when. We don't know who we're going to play. We really don't know this. Do y'all know anything? Do you know anything? Because I know you do, and you're just telling us you don't, so you don't have to answer any questions. Nick Caserio hasn't answered a question the entire time he's been in Houston.
No.
Everything is a dance round. And now David Culley, and it's just basic questions, just like, hey, how long do you think your starters are going to play?
Starters? I don't know. You know our starters? We don't know starters.
Everything is Scooby. Hey, Scooby Cully, can we get one answer about a basic question? Hey, how's he coming along? Nothing's changed.
We got to talk about that. We're going to talk about that after the practice.
Yeah, we don't know. We're gonna have that discussion and... you know, your guess is as good as mine. What? My guess? You're the coach. You're the head coach. My guess better not be as good as yours. You better have better insight than me. Texans, stop doing your New England Patriots super secret stuff and just answer the basic. No one's asking for special insight that will give
other teams
advantages.
I don't want to know what your blitz package is.
Exactly. We're not asking for personnel groupings and all that. We're just asking, hey, how long can we expect to see Tyrod Taylor out there?
That hasn't even been discussed yet. You know, I don't know. Do you know? I don't know. Nick doesn't know. Nobody knows.
Well, when you guys find out, can we know? Because if he's not going to play much, I'd rather not watch the whole game. I just want to see what our new starting quarterback is going to look
like. Well, but maybe they told them.
You don't want somebody getting an unfair advantage on another team because they might watch your preseason tape.
Hey, listen, Wendy, that's on Channel 13. She doesn't want him saying, oh, everybody can leave at halftime because that's all Terod's play. Terod might be out there till in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes left, okay? So you watch the game, okay? That's what I'm saying.
I like how Texans, I like how everything has come back to Texans Communist Network. Cap Cosario, very good cap.
Did you notice that 16 got real loose when it was like Bill O'Brien was, especially once Bill O'Brien was out and they weren't afraid that he would beat him up anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just Jack. They like taking shots at Jack. Look how tough we are. Too tough. And then Nick Cosario came in there like, Cap Cosario, hashtag Cap Cosario. Everything with Texans going just as planned. Because Cap Cosario, very good camp. Very good camp for you to be in. It is the best camp. Lots of information coming from there.
Texans Propaganda, who also his Twitter handle is at Texans Communist, which reminded me of that. He says, the Houston Texans, quote, asshattery is our brand, but we're still not sure about that.
That's not, I don't think they're trying to brand it asshattery.
Well,
I'm pretty sure
somebody goes, I'm pretty sure Joey B, as in Joe Burrow, went to LSU, not OSU. Do I need to be the one to tell Roughneck Joe? This is your people, Roughneck Joe. Do you want to be the one to tell him or me?
He went to both.
Yes.
Yeah.
When he, from the time that Urban Meyer used to make, here's the story I read. Urban Meyer used, for those who don't know, Joe Burrow started at Ohio State. And he got beat out by Braxton Miller, JT Barrett, right? Was it JT Barrett? No, he got beat out by Justin Fields.
When he transferred, Justin Fields transferred in and Joe Burrow said, I'm out.
Well, yeah, and I think some of it was he didn't think he had a chance to play there. But Urban Meyer used to make fun of his throwing. Urban Meyer, there's an article written about it. Urban Meyer would make fun of how soft he threw. He didn't throw with any velocity. And so Joe Burrow has been trying to work on his velocity since he was at Ohio State. So, yes, Joe Burrow actually, for Roughneck Joe, he started at Ohio State and then went to LSU and then won over the guys at LSU at the very end of his first season. It's actually a fascinating read. The Joe Burrow stuff, when I was preparing his draft stuff, really fascinating stuff on Joe Burrow and his background and how LSU, I talked to somebody on the LSU staff who told me, you know, I thought the team bought into him earlier than they did. He goes, no, the team, there was a different quarterback. Who was the guy that they liked and that Joe Burrow beat out? There was a quarterback on the staff.
Miles Brennan was signed that.
Is he black?
Yeah. No.
No, he's a black quarterback.
Oh, yeah. He transferred. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Miles is there now, but.
But, well, not anymore.
Not now. Yeah. But but Joe Burrow beat this other quarterback out, and the team was like, who is this new guy coming and beating out the guy that we all like? And he was not a voracious leader. He was kind of a little bit quiet. And he slowly started winning them over during the season. But they said when he took that death shot in the UCF game, in the bowl game, he took a shot that's one of the hardest hits I've ever seen on a football field and got up. He did not die, by the way. He lived. And when he got up and kept going, the team was like, oh, my God. Every player was a Joe Burrow guy then. It didn't matter. You were like, all right, we're riding with this guy. This is our guy. And that's how it can happen with quarterbacks. That's why I'm expecting at some point Davis Mills to have that moment.
Was it T.J. Finley? It might have been T.J. Finley.
It might have been him. Right now I'm expecting Davis Mills to have that big preseason moment where this week against Cowboys we see – the whole team rally against Davis Mills, rally around Davis. No, I'm sorry, not rally against him. The whole team, it'll just be one big shot, and everyone's going to go, you know what? Davis Mills is our guy. And we'll ask, hey, David Culley, is Davis Mills the guy? It seems like we don't even know. Yeah. I don't even know who Davis Mills is.
No, Finley just transferred. It wasn't Finley. Anyway, you're right. They did have somebody that transferred. I'm worried about Joey B, though. Joey B is a little nervous this year with that knee. He's not the same guy he was because he is thinking about it. Yep.
They say he is not having the same, you know, his big thing is poise in the pocket and being able to maneuver inside the pocket and still maintain his poise. And it sounds like that knee, you know, he's still having flashbacks of that knee getting whacked, he's having a hard time getting past that in his mind. So,
I didn't think it was gonna be an issue for him, but maybe it is gonna be an issue.
Yeah. No, it definitely is an issue for him right now, and if that carries over all season, that's not gonna be a good thing. Joey B's gotta get over that hurdle, mental hurdle. 811 ESPN 975-713-780-3776 is the number to hang with us here on ESPN 975 and ESPN 925. You're all state. You're all state with your windows, Lance.
All state windows and siding. I met with Mary yesterday. It was had a really, really great meeting, as a matter of fact, talking to her about, you know, how long the family's known. They've been in business since 1971 is when they got started. And these windows, you know, the great thing about getting replacement windows is that they are going, especially if you got the single pane windows, the original windows, those windows are going to be leaky. They're going to be old. And what the Allstate windows do for you is they are going to make your house quieter. You're not going to have as much noise. They're not going to be leaky because they are retrofit, and their installation team only does window installations, and they do a phenomenal job of custom fitting every single window, no matter what the size has become with the shifting earth that we have here in Houston. And you are going to see windows that aren't leaking. They're going to be very, very strong. And this is a great time with hurricane season upon us. Man, get those windows that you can feel comfortable with that are going to stand up to 130 mile an hour per hour winds. That's a really, really big deal. And of course, they've got siding work they can do for you as well. But right now, I do want to tell you, 25% off of your window installation, or you can buy 10 windows and get two free. Once again, in time for hurricane season, you got to get on this stuff. Make sure that you give them a call at 832-204-1936. Write this down right now, 832-204-1936, to take advantage of these specials, or go to Allstate Windows and Allstate Siding and Windows.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 8:15 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You know, we work about, 4 hours a day, right? Which is a good job. It's a really good job. We're done now at 10 o'clock. You know, we get in here early enough, and then we work a little bit afterwards.
Right.
But it's a really good job. Do you know we probably work as much as everybody else in America right now?
Mm-hmm.
During an 8-hour workday, the average worker.
We work harder, actually.
We're heroes. Not, I don't want to say heroes, but we're courageous. Let's put it that way. During the average workday, an 8-hour workday, the average worker only spends 4 hours and 12 minutes actively working. So what do they do the rest of the time? What do you think the things that people do most outside of work? During their workday, that they're not working, they're actually not being productive for their... See, David, God, we're productive. We're nose to the grindstone.
We're grinding.
We're grinding every single segment while, you know, probably, I don't know, what's Laura Beaver's doing right now? She's probably surfing the internet or something. I have no idea.
No, we're grinding.
She might be buying a dress from somewhere. I don't know. I don't know what she's doing.
Right. Okay.
All right.
All right.
Todd Farquharson. He's probably looking at Texags. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
We're grinders.
As opposed to working.
Yeah, we're grinders.
Yeah.
So what do I think they're doing? I think it can't be smoking. Like, do you
funny because, you know, back smokers, in the day, smoke breaks would have been like near the
number
top.
Number one. It would have been easily number one. But
it's
I don't
not
think
even
it
on the list anymore.
I still see
what happened to smoking?
It's sad when you see the smokers out there.
Yeah.
42 degrees and rainy.
Oh,
and you see
when
them
I worked
there,
in Green Bay and we had
smoking.
To go outside the door to smoke a cigarette. To choke down a cigarette, and it was freezing cold outside.
Yeah.
But you did it. You did it.
Yeah,
you did it happily.
Well, you put in work.
That's right. I don't know. Well, I was dedicated to my smoking. But I don't do it anymore.
I'm curious to see I mean, I know that fantasy sports used to take up a lot of time.
It's going to.
Yeah, fantasy sports takes up a lot of time. What do they have?
Well, number one is surf the internet.
Well, yeah.
Well,
can we be more specific?
No, well, number two is social media.
Yeah. Well yeah. Okay. Internet.
Yeah. But being.
Yeah, I know. I guess. All right. So I guess we're going to be, that is specific. Surf the internet, social media. I don't know what three would be.
Three is texting.
Another technology thing.
Yeah. Four is different, though. Four is bathroom breaks. Man, somebody's got a bladder that, you know, or, man, GI problems.
All right, so we've had internet since basically, and it hasn't been widespread, but, you know, 96-ish is when it started to make its way into more and more houses.
Yeah.
Let's just say, give me an idea of what was work like in 1992. I mean, your bathroom breaks, you bring a magazine in, obviously, yeah, or a newspaper.
Playboy.
But how would people burn off time at work in 1992?
Yeah.
Well, when there's no internet.
Smoke break.
No social media. Smoke break was big number one.
The big number one. Everybody was smoking.
People were probably smoking who didn't smoke, like.
Yeah, just to.
You know,
just
the inhale. Take a break.
No. Yeah, you know, because people who didn't smoke were like, hey, they get a break all the time.
Hold on. So, but also China wasn't known to be way far past us on all this stuff too, right? Back when people, so
do you mean how much more productive they were?
Americans were probably much more productive.
Although a lot of people in China smoked. They did smoke.
Right. But I don't think they're allowed to be on the internet.
No.
I think the leaders keep them off the internet.
Right now?
Yeah.
When you're at work, they know where they're surfing.
No internet.
They know where they're.
If Jack Morris were here, he could do a voice and could do, you know.
Right.
I would never do that.
No, but Jack Morris
could do a voice that would maybe tell you, you know, don't use the internet.
Oh, yeah, he would do something in
a different way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so snack breaks is up here. Socializing with coworkers. Lance, if you could, who would you socialize with here? So you weren't working.
I mean, obviously.
Well, you do it when you're doing your NFL draft stuff. You're here all day.
I'm here all day.
Who you used to me socialize?
Me and Del, a lot of times we go downstairs.
You and Trey.
Me and Del will go down and have sandwiches together.
Yeah,
like downstairs. Like,
what
Del,
if it was
you
cold?
Bring your,
would you bring
you
a blanket so you two would get under a blanket?
Sure.
Sure.
A blanket or a snuggie. He's got a snuggie.
Because
he kind of likes to be by himself. So I would socialize with him. Mm-hmm. I would socialize with Tyler.
Yeah, Trey.
Tyler, Trey. Trey socialized with everyone. Trey's not. Yeah. Trey left.
He's social.
He resigned.
Yeah.
But, you know, just all the great people here.
Yeah. No,
a lot of socializing.
A lot of socializing.
Actually, I close my door, and I try to close everyone out. As soon as I got in my room, close the door.
Close the door so nobody bothers you. Reading and drawing. Do you draw while you're here?
No, not a lot of doodling.
You don't doodle?
No, not a lot of drawing.
Do you do household activities while you're here?
Where's the get to Netflix?
There's no... Oh, watching TV is way down the list. Now, see, that would be way up there for
you. Okay, so I guess... Oh, yeah, I'd be way up the list. I guess people get caught at work doing it. But people who have headphones on, they listen to radio shows.
Yeah, well, we got that going on right now.
Have it on in the background. People are
if
working
you are
right
being
now.
Unproductive listening to us right now, okay, then Twitch us. For those of you on Twitch that are just very unproductive, we'd like to know. And then what else is another one? And then childcare. You must have been you must be busy all day with childcare.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I could see how that would childcare would be what?
Would
keep you from
trying
working?
To find out what your kids are, what classes they're flunking.
Nah, this is like one of those surveys says childcare could be.
Well, childcare was last.
Yeah, it shouldn't be taking up time. Yeah. For me, it would be all right. Netflix won. Social media would be down.
See, and you,
I'm not on social media as much as I used to be.
Watching TV would have been way down the list, but you would have got a ding. Yeah, but you would only get five points for it. That's all.
See, that's, I guess people who work can't do that, but you can't surf the internet all day long, especially salespeople. I've been around salespeople a lot at, you know, in radio.
I don't know.
You can surf the internet and just say, I'm just looking for leads.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure Todd surfs the internet all day. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, speaking of, you know what? Our guy Michael from Pete's Fine Meats, next week he's going to do a tailgate package he's going to be giving away.
Oh, nice.
We're going to be giving away tailgate packages to people on the show right here.
Speaking of giving away.
I had, for the first time, you ever had country ribs? I didn't even know what they were. It's pork.
The beef? Or
the, when they slice the, no, he slices the pork and then you cook it that, oh man, it was phenomenal. Well, oh, it was super.
So we're going to do that next week? That's nice. Hey, we've also given away a trip to Las Vegas. How about this? A little preview of what we have beginning the week of August 30th. ESPN 97.5 will be giving away tickets to Cirque du Soleil shows in Las Vegas, and one grand prize winner will win a full trip to Vegas, complete with hotel stay and airfare. Be sure to keep your dial locked in on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 for your chance to win. That starts August 30th, your chance to get a free trip to Las Vegas. How about that? And we have another giveaway here. You want to do this Pacquiao thing now? We got living legend Manny Pacquiao and current welterweight world champion Yordanis Ugas will meet in a blockbuster title fight live from T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. The Pac-Man puts it all on the line yet again as he looks to add to his impressive collection of belts. Saturday, August 21st, I believe that's tomorrow, at 9 p.m. Eastern, which is 8 p.m. here, live on pay-per-view. But now on the Fox Sports app, and buy now on the Fox Sports app, and watch on any screen you want. If you want a free code to watch the pay-per-view.
Uh-oh.
Okay, Art, listen up.
Here's the code, Art.
Art, here it is. Well, it's not the code, but here's how you do it. At exactly 8:30, you call 713-780-3776 and caller number 8. Caller number 8. Get to see Pacquiao versus Ugas only on pay-per-view. Only on pay-per-view. So we're doing that. All right. So, anyway, so that was that. Coming up, we're going to talk a little Cowboys. Now, that's going to be heads up against the Cowboys and Texans, which is a grudge match. Like, it's, isn't that for the silver boot?
It's for, silver boot is going to be the,
it's the governor something.
Governor's cup.
It's the governor's trophy or something. What do the Texans play for? The Texans and Cowboys play for the, for the Governor's Cup, I'm pretty sure, right?
That does sound right.
What is it? What is
nope. Governor's Cup 2001, is that what it is? The Texas Governor's Cup is the trophy awarded to the winner of the national football game between the two National Football League teams in Texas. Currently, the Dallas Cowboys and the Houston Texans.
Thank you.
The Governor's Prior Cup. To the Texans' inaugural season in 2002, the Cowboys' opponent was the Houston Oilers. That's what Wikipedia tells me.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. So the Governor's Cup.
Yeah. Governor's Cup!
Yeah.
I like it better if Ole Miss and Mississippi State played for the Governor's Cup.
Well, they play for the Confederate flag.
Okay.
They play for who gets to keep the flag that year.
They're swinging the flag after the game.
Colonel Rabb.
Elijah Moore. Like, Elijah, you cost us the flag.
Yeah.
When you did that pee.
Now Mississippi State has the flag.
They don't play for the Confederate flag. Yeah. They play for a silver bucket, probably.
Or that car that was the
no, that's Egg Bowl, actually.
Oh, that's right. That's the Egg Bowl.
It's all of the wooden bucket, the axe handle between Wisconsin and Minnesota. Wow. The Big Ten stuff is the lamest.
The old oaken bucket.
The copper spittoon. Yeah, like the Big Ten stuff is the most lame stuff in the world. Like the chicken fence in between Michigan State and Northwestern. Oh, wow. This is where they used to put chickens in. The old chicken fence. They got chicken wire after the game. We won it! We won the chicken fence! Woo! Pat Fitzgerald's out there for Northwestern pumping his arm, holding a chicken wire above his head.
Yeah!
Big Ten! I mean, they have, really, the wooden axe handle is a real thing.
No, it's not the wooden axe handle.
It's something like that.
It's the wooden axe.
Those are your people, Big Ten people.
Yeah, no.
My people are Big 12 people. We don't play for anything. National championships. We play for nothing in the Big 12. Nothing. No conference championship, no national championships, no, you know, handles of this, that, and the other thing. No chicken wire.
It's
no
Minnesota and Wisconsin. They play for Paul Bunyan's axe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is something called like the Oaken Bucket.
Also. The old Oaken Bucket, yeah.
Yeah. Purdue and who? Purdue and Minnesota or something?
Purdue and Indiana.
Random Big Ten teams.
Oaken Bucket. The old Oaken Bucket game is between the Hoosiers and, it's Purdue and, that's a big game.
Purdue and who?
Purdue and Indiana.
How does anyone sleep at night knowing that the Oaken Bucket is on the line the next day? Well, like, how do you, like, oh my God, if we lose the Bucket.
I mean, look, you get to carry it around. It's the only thing they play for every year. Purdue and Indiana, dude.
That's
what do you
point.
Think they're playing for?
That's a good point. And the Governor's Cup, we didn't even know the name of it. I don't know how we pulled that out of our ass anyway. Can you imagine? After the game, somebody's going to hoist.
Tyrod Taylor's going to be, Davis Mills going to be running around with the Governor's
what?
Cup.
Oh, my God. What if, we got to get to a break, but what if Cal McNair, this is his big chance, and he's like, furiously thrust it in the air like, yes! Now maybe people shut up about me. I won the title. Like, that's just the Governor's Cup.
It's the Governor's Cup.
Oh. And it's a preseason game. It's a preseason Cal's not game, a big deal. Yeah.
It is. It's a huge deal. It doesn't get any
bigger. It's a big one. Oh, speaking of big deals, Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Coming up next, Bob Sturm from The Ticket and The Athletic. He's going to talk about Cowboys Texans with us for a second. But I do want to say that, at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, Craig DeSurf does things a little differently than some of the other dealerships. A lot of them are just all about what the sales numbers are, and they're, you know, does the ends justify the means, and it's hustle out to your car, and is anyone taking care of you yet? Does anyone have any questions? Let's start getting you through this process. What does it take to get you to buy this car? What do I need to do? That high pressure sales tactic thing is something that they will never do out in Angleton. First of all, it's Angleton. That's not what people in Angleton do. They're good people. They're country people who are good folk, and they're going to treat you nice, and they're going to give you $3,000 purchase allowances on the GMC Sierra pickup trucks. They're going to give you better trade-in values. They're going to have the vehicles that you're looking for, cars, trucks, SUVs, and most importantly, they're going to take care of you before, during, and after the sale. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, you can start the car buying experience at LanceZCars.com.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's bring in Bob Sturm. Bob is on the hard line on The Ticket in Dallas, and he also writes for The Athletic, and he's here with us on ESPN 97.5.
He does real work. Me and him do real work, unlike you radio suckers.
Yeah.
With your little two-hour halfway work. We're out there grinding on a daily basis.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, Lance is grinding over here, Bob. Don't know how he gets up, how he can possibly drag himself out of bed every morning, how hard he works. Welcome to the show, Bob. Do you know what these two teams are playing for tomorrow night, the Cowboys and the Texans?
Surely it's something in the silver boot bet, or
see? No,
now
no.
We all thought that, yeah. Yeah.
No, I knew what it was. I told you it was the Governor's
you
Cup.
You started off with, isn't it a silver bucket?
Well, yeah, it's not the silver. It's the Governor's Cup, Bob.
Well, every kid has dreamed of winning the Governor's Cup.
So it doesn't get any bigger.
No, you come from Big Ten country, so we were just talking about all the crazy Big Ten, like the silver fiddle and the oaken bucket and the axe handle and all that stuff. Yep. So, you know what it's like. You know what it's like for somebody to win a big, you know, trophy that you get to hoist after the game and carry around for a year. And the Texans are hoping to win big and win the cup. I mean, that's why we're having you on here, to talk about the cup. It's a big, big
I'm
game.
I'm into it. And I will tell you, as a young lad in high school, watching the Badgers run around with Paul Bunyan's axe was quite a thrill. So I won't underestimate that. Comparing it to tomorrow is probably not going to be the same. But hopefully everybody has fun out there.
Well, we think Cal McNair is going to be running around with the Governor's Cup over his head after the Texans, and he's going to be running all over the field. It's going to be so. Let me ask what's the feeling right now in Dallas about the Cowboys football team? Every year y'all got there's such high hopes for this team. Sure. Was that tempered at all since you haven't won much in over a long time?
Has it tempered at all? That's a great one. No, the Cowboys world still believes that their place at the top of the mountain will be re-achieved here at some point very soon. So I continue to move the pieces around and hope for the best. And of course, this year, with another, big season of Hard Knocks and the return to California. I would say the hype train is probably right on schedule, as it usually is this time of year. And, you know, last year was full of optimism after a decade of Jason Garrett and the belief that, you know, the coaching change long overdue, and I don't disagree at all. And then pretty much to miss your entire offseason program and then to enter the season really without either of your two highly compensated offensive tackles and really never to have them the entire year. And then, of course, the broken ankle of the quarterback, Prescott. And before long, the high optimism of 2020 just absolutely went in the tank. And therefore, we're now in rebound season, year two of Mike McCarthy. And the belief, of course, is it certainly can't be worse than year one.
I am really curious. I think the Cowboys are an interesting team to keep track of, and I think they're a really good team for Hard Knocks, because this Dak thing is going to, if Dak comes back and stays healthy, I think the Cowboys have a chance. I just think a lot of things could break right for him. You got a running back who's lost weight and is quicker, which is a big deal, as you know, Bob. When you get a little older as a running back, you got to get lighter and you got to get quicker. The offensive line is back. There's been an added level of importance added to the defensive side of the ball. But I wonder how much you think their success in what has been a weaker division is going to be linked to Dak Prescott's ability to get back to 100%.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's absolutely linked to, you know, to their investment in him. And really, when you look at the salary cap outlay, they absolutely have tried to put together a top five offense. And last year they were very close at times in production, and a lot of that was, you know, Prescott kind of playing point guard with those three spectacular receivers, you know, to add CeeDee Lamb to Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. I mean, who pick your poison, right? And because CeeDee Lamb might actually be the best of the three, but they were playing him out of the slot. So, you know, it all starts with having an offensive line that can stay together, and you guys know that down there quite well. The continuity and quality up front is huge, and last year I think the Cowboys had 12 different offensive line combinations, which is absurd. So, you know, it certainly, you could see the blueprint, guys. I mean, if they can have an offense that is near the top of the league and take care of the ball, which they weren't doing even with Prescott last year, then you don't need the world-class defense. You just need a league-average defense, and you should be in pretty good shape. That's kind of, you know, even the Kansas City recipe. And you know, the Cowboys have every reason to put that together, and I'm optimistic that they have a real chance to do that this year. But after, 23 seasons of following this team, it won't be the first time that I felt good in August and then realized in October we're probably wasting our time again. So bad things do happen around here.
Order of finish in the NFC East this year.
Well, that's okay, and that's a huge factor, right? Because this hasn't been a good division in quite some time. So clearly it's Washington and Dallas at the top. I would lean towards Dallas only because I'd still am going to need to see Washington's offensive line and their quarterback situation come together. So I would say Dallas, Washington, and then I'm not positive it totally matters at the bottom, but I think the Giants should be better. And then, you know, I think the Eagles are pretty much playing for their draft picks next year. I don't think the Eagles are terribly serious about things right now.
I think this is a really tricky division because if Jalen Hurts plays really well, you know, we'll see over there. But I'm kind of – you referenced the New York Giants. I don't think it's crazy that a quarterback in his third year could take a step. You added Kenny Golladay over there with the Giants, yep, to a team that has Darius Slayton, who I think is – a fairly talented wide receiver. You get Saquon Barkley back, which is not a small deal. And then you've got Nate Solder, they say, who's playing fairly well over there at right tackle to go with Andrew Thomas, the rookie who struggled last year at left tackle, but should be better in his second year. I just think, and their defense wasn't terrible with the Giants. They weren't terrible at all. So I think that their front is pretty good. I think the Giants are... Look, Washington has a great defensive front, but we don't know about the offense all the way right now. The Giants, I don't think they're going to be as easy and out this year as they were at times last year. But I still have the Cowboys winning that division. But it's all based on Dak for me, because if Zeke comes back at and looks like old Zeke, CeeDee Lamb, you look at the weapons, you look at Dak, I just think Dallas has too much firepower for everyone in that division.
Yeah, and you know, I think the defenses all across the division are all probably as good or better than Dallas's. I don't think there's any question about that. The Giants' defense was actually, you know, really good last year, despite not necessarily being good at any one thing. They were quite solid across the board. Washington's devastating up front, and you know, they should destroy any offensive line that doesn't have their act together. And frankly, all across this division, the offensive lines are so shaky. That's why another reason I think you would go to Dallas. So, you know, it's not a good division. And that's the case last year too. And that's why probably, if Mike McCarthy doesn't win this division, the heat will already be on him. Like, boy, we might have made a mistake here. I certainly go back with McCarthy quite a ways, and I do think that he's not the dolt that he's portrayed to be at times. And I think he's pretty good quality, and I think Dan Quinn is a huge addition up here as well.
That's Bob Sturm. He's on the ticket, writes for The Athletic. He covers the Cowboys, and we got a big one tomorrow night. It doesn't get any bigger than the second preseason game between the Texans and the Cowboys.
It's the biggest.
And you can hear it right here on ESPN 97.5. We carry all the Cowboys games right here on our station. So it's big here, Bob. Doesn't get any bigger. we appreciate you being here, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
How you like your new time slot, by the way? You made a move to a different time slot. Radio-wise, is that better for you?
Well, it provides more time for golf, and I guess that's probably, you know, what we're looking for in life. So it's, you know, 12 to 3 was ideal for lifestyle, but the golf game, it was tough to really work on it. And so I've really sharpened up the wedges, but not always home for dinner. So what are you going to do, right? We're talking about football. It's not that hard.
Yeah, I love that, though. If it makes more time for golf, it was a great move for you. Congratulations.
Exactly.
Congratulations on your more golf. Bob Sturm right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Cowboys for the Athletic, so he's going to be like...
playing golf.
He's got some work he's got to do.
He's got to play golf, too. Okay?
Yeah.
Those little job things are fine, but he's got to play golf.
Luckily, they don't play.
Well done, Bob. We appreciate you. Thank you. There's Bob Sturm. Hey, when we come back, a real live Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Larry David was involved in a Curb Your Enthusiasm scene.
I mean, it was a real live Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah. And there's a chance this could end up in one of his episodes.
Yeah. And you know what? It absolutely could. And that's no jab. That's no jab at him.
Hey, so site jab, I called Hector yesterday and said, I got a football website that we're going to get. I got to start moving forward in this. We got some great information, it's a great NFL draft site. It is going to be for fans. It's also going to be, we're also building something that is for a scouting service thing that is for the high school and college teams as well. And I went to SiteJab. We got the back end built. I went to SiteJab and I said, listen, I want you to take what we've got and I want you to build and design a website around it. And Hector asked a few different questions and he put me on with George, who is going to be the lead on this, the lead designer. And George was asking a bunch of questions and we're going to meet today on a phone call to go through some of the features that SiteJab is going to put together for me. I trust them with a company that I'm going to launch. It's going to be national, and you can trust them with your local business here in Houston. They've been doing it for over 23 years. They design, they do brand management. They build sites from the ground floor up, and they're a company that really is going to help increase your business leads and turn your leads into cash. SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com. Give the local business a call and freshen up and really get your website cranking with SiteJab.com.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. 849 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In about 10 minutes, we'll tell you what's going on in the city of Houston this weekend with Stephen. And I don't even want to try to pronounce his last name. Devadenum.
We just call him Stevie D in the hallways.
Stevie D. We will talk to him from Culture Map, give you a little preview of what's going on this weekend. But what went on in Martha's Vineyard?
Now, as soon as you say that, that means rich people. So, yeah.
So apparently life imitated art. Curb Your Enthusiasm's Larry David and lawyer Alan Dershowitz. Apparently, they saw each other at a Martha's Vineyard grocery store. And it literally, someone...
They've been friends in the past. Yeah. Supposedly, Alan Dershowitz helped get one of Larry's kids into a college or a law school or something like that.
Okay.
So they actually have been friends in the past.
Yeah, and this is... someone actually, I wrote down what these two were saying.
Yeah.
Someone witnessed it. Now, there is no video of it, but there is... this transcript of what the two of them were saying. They met at a Martha's Vineyard grocery store, and it didn't go well. I'll be Alan Dershowitz.
All right, I'll be Larry David.
You're Larry David.
All right, so I'm going to come over to you.
All right.
And I'm going to have my hat on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Looking at me and shaking
your head.
Giving
my little look. Yeah.
We can still talk, Larry.
No. We really can't. I saw you. I saw you with your arm around Mike Pompeo. It's disgusting.
He's my former student at Harvard Law. I greet all of my former students that way.
It's disgusting.
I can't greet my former students.
It's disgusting. Your whole enclave. Disgusting. You're disgusting.
Larry walks away. Alan takes off his T-shirt to reveal another T-shirt underneath it. And it says, it's the Constitution, stupid.
When I read that, I'm like, come on. There's no way that he had a T-shirt under a T-shirt. Pulled it off. Because it's like he's got Insta Constitution ready on standby. And so he pulls off his T-shirt.
Apparently. Now, Page Six put that up. And
I can't do Larry's voice. But I can totally see Larry saying this in the episode.
Oh, yeah. You know what? This is probably... No. He's not De Niro. But
it's been confused. It's been confirmed.
It has.
This
yes.
happened.
Oh, Dershowitz talked to Page Six, and they asked him about it, and he said, it wasn't funny at all. Larry David was yelling and screaming. I was worried that he was going to have a stroke.
He said his face turned bright red. Dude, Larry... can channel that energy. If you've never watched Curb Your Enthusiasm, he 100% does that same thing on the show.
Right.
Like, he looks like he's really mad on the show. He acts that out really well because that's obviously in him.
Now, Pompey said Pompeo was his student. He said, I admire him, not for his work with Trump, but for his peace efforts in the Middle East. He's disappointed that Larry can't understand why he'd work with any administration on peace for Israel, regardless of who was occupying the Oval Office. Dershowitz said, while Larry is writing bad jokes, I was helping to bring about peace in the Middle East. What has he done? Larry's a knee-jerk radical. He takes his politics from Hollywood. He doesn't read a lot. He doesn't think a lot. It's typical of what happens now on the Vineyard. People won't talk to each other if they don't agree with their politics.
That's sad for Martha's Vineyard. I was really hoping Martha's Vineyard could really, could give us all a shining light of how we could all behave. And unfortunately, the people in Martha's Vineyard, one of the wealthiest places in all of the country,
yes.
is just, they're just not, it's really sad to hear that Martha's Vineyard's having a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's sad. Kind of like Deshaun, he's on a pile of $57 million on a side field. Man, this is a rough time. Other stuff's rough.
Right.
Don't get me. Deshaun's got problems. I'm not saying he doesn't.
Yeah.
But the Martha's Vineyard, that's really what we need to focus on is that how do we get Martha's Vineyard, back to where those guys are, everyone's kind of getting along and on each other's yachts and, on each other's 7,400 square foot.
Now, see, you feel some
houses.
Sympathy for
yeah,
that.
Yeah. I mean, now that I think about it, can you imagine if you have 12 rooms in a house and you got friends that are on the Vineyard who come over and stay, but because their politics are different than yours, you're only going to fill up two rooms.
Yeah.
You have 10 rooms. Instead of having seven rooms that are unaccompanied, you know, that don't have anyone in it, you're only going to have, like, now you're going to have 10 rooms because people won't come over to your house to do clam bakes and,
right.
And you know, well, and ride on.
But Larry, didn't he have that black family that lived with him?
Yeah, so, the blacks.
Yeah.
that's their names. If I remember correctly, it was Leon Black. Larry, when he told him, Larry, you need to take that ass and rip it open and step inside and get up all up in that ass, Larry. That's what he said when somebody, the dry cleaner, stole his Joe Pepitone jersey. Leave Snickers bars in there and spray paint your name inside his ass. I got to be very careful very when careful. I'm doing Leon Black.
Yeah, yeah. Don't be careful about Leon Black.
Yeah. J.B. Smooth.
Yeah.
Okay. The great J.B. Smooth.
Jack Morris.
That's sad.
Jack Morris, be careful when you're doing.
It's sad that Larry and Alan Dershowitz and Martha's Vineyard.
Dershowitz says, I'm a liberal Democrat. I voted for Biden just as enthusiastically as Larry did. But he's a contemporary McCarthyism. He is guilty of contemporary McCarthyism. McCarthy would have been proud of him. He went after lawyers who represented people he disagreed with. It's hard when these really, really rich people aren't getting along up in Martha's Vineyard. It's tough.
Yeah, it is. And that's when I feel bad. I'm like, man, when the rich people can't get along with other rich people, we got a problem in this country and we got to get something solved.
Over politics.
Yeah, we got to get this.
And Alan Dershowitz is a liberal, Larry. No. I saw you.
I saw you with your hands around up there. It's disgusting. Like, I can see it. I can see the scene.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you don't have to be a rich person to enjoy Houston, and we'll tell you how. Next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, and you don't have to be a rich person to buy a Ford either. But listen, they've got as little as you want to spend on that starter car for your daughter or your son, and you want, or you just need to be more economical. Whatever the deal is, you need, Chastain Ford is here. Whatever kind of car, whatever kind of truck, it doesn't matter. The EcoSport is a great starter car. You want one? You can order it exactly how you want it for your child or for you, whatever. You want the Explorer? I got the Expedition. It is awesome. I've already applied for the Lightning, the F-150 Lightning, that's electric, and that is going to be electric. But you know what? You got to wait for that, obviously. But here's the thing is you can order everything at Chastain Ford exactly how you want it, and that's how you go about it. You're looking for that Ford car or truck, get online because you can do it all online at ChastainFord.com, or you can get to the dealership at 610 on Homestead, not Hempstead. You're looking for that Ford car or truck. There's only one place to go. It's Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5.